Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
What are we praying for when we pray that Lord's Prayer? What are we asking for? The common way is to kind of break it down into its petitions, which is a very good way of treating and understanding the Lord's Prayer, and to break it down into the individual things. But what's the big picture here? What are we asking other than just a laundry list of things from God, even with Jesus' own instruction? Is it about the whole Christian life? There are people out there like Joel Osteen, and he has many imitators and many who have come before him, who will tell you that the abundant life that Jesus promises, I have come that they might have life and have it in abundance, looks like the abundant life. I was out in Las Vegas. I saw the abundant life. People living high on the hog, some of them falling off the hog, but opulence, everything big, great, expensive. And there are Christians that will tell you that's pretty much what the abundant life is. That's what Jesus is talking about. But it doesn't sound a lot like the Lord's Prayer. Now, does it? Joining us to talk about the Lord's Prayer and that abundant life promised by Jesus, Pastor Brian Wolfmiller. He's pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado, co-host of a weekly radio show called Table Talk Radio, and he's author of a recent article titled The Lord's Prayer Teaches Us What an Abundant Life Is. Brian, welcome back.
Well, Todd, it's been ages. How are you?
It's very good. How are you?
I'm fine. I heard you guys started a new radio station there with sacred music. Is that right?
That's right, Lutheran Public Radio. It's now 24/7, 365 days a year.
Hey, congratulations! That's awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you. We're very happy to offer it. Do you have the abundant life, Brian?
Oh, by God's grace, every Christian does, and that's maybe the place to start. Is that the abundant life is a life that is receiving the Lord's gifts. And we normally think, you were talking about being in Las Vegas, we think of the abundant life, so we say, give us this daily bread, but let's supersize it, you know? Give us this day some sort of supersized bread, or give us today bread for today, tomorrow, and also all this other stuff. So when we think of an abundant life, generally, I think, and Joel Osteen and these guys might fall right into it, what they do is they think, well, we want the Lord to really give us an extra dose of fourth petition gifts. We want the Lord to give us an extra dose of daily bread. But the problem is, we're so focused in on that one petition that we miss all the rest. I started thinking about this, Todd, when I was looking at a biology book, and they talk about the essentials for life, right? Have you seen this? This is what you essentially need for life. And the essentials that are outlined and that we normally live by for life is that you need food and water and shelter. And that's it. So you got those things, and then you can live. And I realize that that's only one petition of the Lord's Prayer. That's only one little part of the life that the Lord wants us to live. But most people are living, I would suspect, I mean, just to kind of put it on a pie chart, spend 95, maybe 100% of their effort pursuing the things of the fourth petition and none of the other things in the Lord's Prayer.
Okay, so is Jesus not only telling us what the abundant life is he also giving us the means by which to have it in the Lord's Prayer?
Yeah, well, sort of. I mean, the Lord's Prayer, remember, and Luther's just pure genius on this thing. He says before the Lord's Prayer is us asking God for something, it is first God telling us what to ask for, which is just, I mean, that's such a profound insight, is that we're so stained in our sinfulness that we don't even know what we need. I mean, we don't even know what we should go and ask God for. I mean, if God were to leave it up to us, I mean, we'd ask for all sorts of goofy nonsense. But so we go to the Lord's Prayer first for instruction, and the Lord says, here is what you need for life. You need my name, holy. You need my kingdom to come. You need my will to be done, and so forth. I mean, when he gives us the seven petitions of the Lord's Prayer, he's telling us what we need. But here's the kind of the irony of the whole thing. We don't even know it. I mean, in some sense, we know we need daily bread, because we have a stomach that tells us that. And in some sense, we know we need something like forgiveness, because we have a conscience that tells us that things in the world are broken, inside of us, outside of us, etc. But we have no ability to even begin to know that we need any of this other stuff. We don't know that we need the Lord's Word. It's not like we have a little stomach that sits behind our ear, you know, a little Bible stomach. And it gets hungry. If you haven't heard a sermon in 2 weeks, it starts to get cramps up and stuff. Or if you were to hear a Joel Osteen sermon, you would get kind of ear stomach poisoning, and you'd be up all night, you know, puking out of your ear, false doctrine out of it.
I mean, He's grossing me out now.
if we had that sort of thing, I mean, there'd be a line for church like Texas Roadhouse, man. Everyone would be, I'm starving, I got to get in. But we don't have it. We don't even know that we need that for life. So Jesus is giving us this huge gift of telling us what we need in the Lord's Prayer.
Is it? I don't want to push this too hard, but is it in order of priority in some sense?
Yes, it is. I mean, that's exactly. I mean, you see the same ordering in the Ten Commandments and the Lord's Prayer. They follow the same order. Is that? Look, I mean, for example, in the Ten Commandments, the first commandment, God says, "You don't need anything but me. Everything else, if it stands before me, everything else is an idol. So drop it all." I mean, your life, your family, your life in this world, all your possessions, drop them all. And then in the rest of the petitions, in the rest of the commandments, the Lord proceeds to give us all of these things as a gift from Him. So now we can receive His Word and His invitation to pray and the structure of this world. We can receive our life and our spouse and our possessions as gifts from God. And we see the same thing in the Lord's Prayer. I mean, really, with the introduction, Our Father, everything else falls out of place. We pray, Our Father, Heavenly Father, You are my Father, and then all the other petitions flow into place. But if you can't pray Our Father, and if you can't say, Hallowed be Thy name, then none of the other stuff matters.
Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is our guest. It's Thursday afternoon, June the 14th. We're talking about the Lord's Prayer and the abundant life. Join us with questions or comments, 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-6943. Send us a tweet at IssuesETC or an email right here in the studio. We'll get it in real time. Talkback@IssuesETC.org. Talkback@IssuesETC.org.
This is Pastor Clint Poppy, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska, proud supporter of Issues, etc. Each month we host the Nebraska Lutherans for Confessional Study, a serious study of Lutheran theology. We generally meet on the fourth Thursday of each month from 9:30 to 2:30, and both clergy and laity are invited. There is no charge to attend. For more information, please call the church office or visit our website, goodshepherdlincoln.org, and click on the green NLCS tab.
Do you have a student finishing up eighth grade at a Lutheran school? Do you wish there were a Lutheran high school close to where you live so your student could continue going to a Lutheran school? What if there was an opportunity for high school students in public or Lutheran school to take classes like Latin, logic, and hard-hitting theology courses? Well, there is. It's called Wittenberg Academy, the first completely online classical Lutheran high school. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Trinity Lutheran, Brooklyn, New York. Hope Lutheran, Birmingham, Alabama. Our Savior Lutheran, Paradise, California. St. John Lutheran, Ray, Michigan. Peace with Christ Lutheran, Fort Collins, Colorado. Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran, Kimberling City, Missouri. The Lutheran Church of Our Savior, Salinas, California. St. John's Lutheran, Algoma, Wisconsin, and St. John's Lutheran, Colton, California. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. IssuesETC.org and click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Talk radio for recovering evangelicals. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Another shocking violation of human rights in China.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
The one-child policy in China is well known. But the brutality used to enforce it is often shielded from the world. This time, though, a gruesome photo of what looks like a newborn baby submerged in a bucket is making its way around the web. According to the website that published it, both mother and baby died after the forced abortion. The young woman was kidnapped by authorities from the birth control office. While the Chinese government claims it has softened the one-child policy, this incident and others like it tell a different story.
Are you pro-life? Then visit our website at sba-list.org and discover how you can make a difference. I'm Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. Thanks for taking a stand.
Like the pine trees lining the winding road, I've got a name. I've got a name.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the Lord's Prayer and the Abundant Life. It's Thursday afternoon, the 14th of June. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is our guest. Brian, what is so great? Let's go through it piece by piece, if we could, beginning with Hallowed Be Thy Name. What's so great about having God's name?
Well, we're born, like Jesus says to the Jews in John chapter 8, we're born with the name of the devil. We're born his children. But the Lord takes us out of the kingdom of darkness and transfers us into the kingdom of light in his Son, and he gives us then in baptism his own name. And with that name comes just an incredible amount of gifts. I mean, I've seen this happen where, someone will drop something. In fact, this happened to me just the other day. I can't remember. Someone dropped something, and it was a piece of paper or something, and it had something on it there, and they're walking off, and I picked it up, and I wanted to give it to them, and I'm trying to get their attention, but I didn't know their name. So I'm running by them, hey, you there, hey. And they didn't turn, they didn't respond, but you know how it is, if you know the guy's name, I mean, I could be running 50 yards behind you in the airport, and I could say, Todd, and all of a sudden, boom, I have your attention. You turn, you look at me, and there you are. This is when the Lord gives us his name. He gives us that kind of access to him, that we say, oh, Father in heaven, and boom, he turns around, and we have his face, and we have his attention, and he says, ask me whatever you want, and I'll give it to you. I mean, the gift of God's name comes then all the other gifts of heaven. It's like the stranger that would come up to you and say, hey, could I have all of your possessions? And you call the police. But if your son or your daughter comes up and says, Dad, could I have this? You say, look, it already belongs to you. When I gave you my name, when you were born, I gave you everything else. And your inheritance is everything I have. All that I do is for you. So God does that. He says, look, you're my children. I adopt you into my family. And now you have everything that belongs to me, belongs to you. My kingdom, my will, everything. We're the sons of the king, and so we have as our inheritance his kingdom. And we have as our protection his will. This is beautiful stuff.
Now, the kingdom stuff sounds a little more to us like the abundant life we think of, because kings, they've got it made. They sit on gold thrones, and they wear fancy jewels, and the Queen of England just celebrated her 60th you're on the throne and they spared no expense. That sounds a little bit more like the abundant life. Is that the kingdom that we're praying for when we say that thy kingdom come?
No, that's, you know, this is the one of these things where the kids always pray this petition, and instead of saying thy kingdom come, they say my kingdom come, just because they don't know what thy means. But that's exactly the opposite. We're praying not for our own little kingdoms, but for the Lord's kingdom. And remember, Jesus says, my kingdom is not of this world. His kingdom is the church. His kingdom is where his spirit and his word have free course. And so we're praying, when we pray thy kingdom come, we're praying for the church. We're praying for the church all over the world. We're praying specifically that we would have a place where we can go and hear God's word preached and the sacrament administered to us. And that we're praying that that God's kingdom, that is his church, the word of his gospel, would expand and overcome the devil's kingdom in every corner of the world, that more and more people would be set free from sin and death by the advancing of the Lord's gracious kingdom. So we're praying, in fact, for the opposite of that. And it's when we have these two petitions, the Lord's name and his kingdom, that is his word and his spirit, that we can start to pray the hymn that Luther taught us, take they our wife, good, fame, child, and life. Let these all be gone. They yet have nothing won. The kingdom ours remains. So that, now, and this is really something, Todd. The Christian has a diversified portfolio. We don't have all of our eggs in the give us this day our daily bread basket. Our riches are found in God's name, in his kingdom, in his will, in our daily bread, in our forgiveness, and all of these things. But if you take one from us, you've only taken one out of seven. You take my food and my life and all of this sort of stuff. I still have God's name and his kingdom. You haven't really taken anything at all.
Now, on this notion of the kingdom, you said just a minute ago that we're actually praying that we would, that each of us individually and as Christians together would have a church where God's word is faithfully preached and the sacraments faithfully administered, which is not high on the priority list of many very faithful churchgoers nowadays.
I know it. That's right. I mean, you see how the fourth petition is always trying to sneak up to number one. I did this nasty trick a couple of years ago. I didn't do it again because I felt terrible. But there was a group that was gathered together for in a kind of a casual service. A group of pastors gathered together for a service during the week, and I said, now before we started, I said, if there's anything that you'd like to pray for, just let me know, and I'll include it in the prayer of the church. But I want to do something a little different. I only want to take one prayer request for each petition of the Lord's Prayer. And so now, so the first pastor says, well, let's pray for so-and-so who's sick. And so I write it down, and then I said, okay, fourth petition, that they would have the needs of this body. Now, the next person says, well, so-and-so's also sick. And I said, nope. We already got a fourth petition prayer. Can I have a first, second, third, fifth, sixth, or seventh petition request? And no one thought of anything. I mean, we're so naturally tuned when we just start praying on our own to pray petitions of the fourth kind rather than all these other ones. And I think that's also how our lives are shaped. When we go out and start living, we're just geared towards the fourth petition, to making sure our stomachs stop telling us that they're hungry, that we forget that we have these greater needs of God's word and his kingdom, his church.
Then we come to the matter of God's will, which again, our natural way of thinking about this abundant life that Christ is talking about in the Lord's Prayer is not, it really not just not God's will, but not anyone else's will either. Mine has to be, I get to tell you what I want my life to be like.
Yeah, there's already, you know, the last two petitions of the Lord's Prayer have to do with suffering in this world. Lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. But you already have a hidden suffering already in the third petition because we just have this natural yearning, like you said, for our own will to be done. But in this petition, we're saying, no, that's not what we're after. We want the Lord's will to be done, whatever it is. And it's this prayer that we learn to pray in suffering, like Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Lord, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but thy will be done. This is the prayer of someone who's suffering. And we think, right, we think that suffering is not part of the abundant life, but indeed it is. Indeed it is. In fact, I don't think, Todd, that you can read the Bible without understanding that we live in the context of suffering, death, sin, the hatred of the devil and the enemies of the church, if you don't understand that this life is full of suffering, then the Bible just doesn't make any sense. You read the Psalms and you say, what are these guys going on about? Well, they're going on about suffering. That's what they're talking about. And that's right there in that petition, thy will be done. It's a little prayer for the death of the old Adam that always wants its own desires and its own wills and its own things. And also in this petition, if we got time for a little bit more on the third petition, is that we begin to learn in this petition that this life is a life not only of suffering but of battle. I mean, there are wills that oppose God's will. There's the will of the flesh, and there's the will of the devil, and the will of the world, and they stand in opposition to God's will. And we are then praying. Prayer is not this kind of mystical sort of thing. Prayer is more of a military act. It's an act of war. We're standing up and saying, what we need and what we desire is that all these other wills that would put themselves against God's will would come to nothing, that they'd be destroyed.
Now, in that very vein with regard to God's will, you said it brings with it suffering, it brings with it kind of battling both self-repentance and these external wills. Does it also, in a sense, sum up the first two things that we've been talking about? That is, how do I know what God's will is? Answer, that's easy, that his name be hallowed, that his kingdom come.
Yeah, it's really quite beautiful, the structure of the Lord's Prayer. So we hear the first three petitions are the thy petitions, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom, thy will. And then the fourth petitions have to do with life on this earth, the things that belong to us, bread and forgiveness and temptation and evil. And that's true. That third petition, like the seventh petition, stands as a summary petition for everything that came before it. So when we pray for God's will to be done, we pray for his name to be holy and his kingdom to come. We pray that he would give us the riches of his word. We pray that law and gospel would be preached in their clarity and in their fullness. And we pray that all the false preachers and all the false teachers and all the false ideologies that are out there would come to nothing. That our ears would be filled with the Lord's word, our consciences filled with his forgiveness, that he would give to us his wisdom and his joy, and that even we would desire these more than anything else. When Jesus, you remember how Jesus gives this thing, is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? And then Solomon kind of ups the ante, and he says we pursue wisdom more than gold and fine jewels. The Lord's word has that kind of precious value to us. So before we even get to the things that we need for this life, we realize what a huge and beautiful and wonderful treasure that we have when the Lord gives himself to us in his word.
Okay, now we turn to the one, with about a minute before we take a break, that someone listening to us up to this point might say, well, it sounds like you're saying we shouldn't ask or be concerned at all about the matters of this body and life. I mean, if the abundant life isn't the Joel Osteen-esque kind of opulent riches, never wanting for anything, then maybe it's wrong for us to pray that God would feed us and care for our bodies. With about a minute, what's your response?
Well, we do now for the first time have a modifier on the things that we're asking. In the first three petitions, we're basically asking God to give us himself and everything else. I mean, they're so bold. Give us your. Remember, the prodigal son didn't ask for he at least asked for only half of the father's riches. We're asking for all of them. Give us your name. Give us your whole kingdom. Give us all your will. Give us all these things. But then we get to the fourth petition and we say, daily bread. That's what we want. Bread for today.
We'll pick up right there with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller. We're talking about the Lord's Prayer and the abundant life. It's Thursday afternoon, June the 14th. How does the church year teach us the fundamental narratives of salvation's story? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June is Ordering Our Days in His Peace, An Introduction to the Church Year. It's written by regular guest Pastor Heath Curtis. You can check out Ordering Our Days in His Peace at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase our Book of the Month by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Ordering Our Days in His Peace.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois is happy to support the Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry of Issues Etc. Join us for worship, Bible classes, youth ministry, and other opportunities to grow in Christ. We have a Christian day school for children in preschool to 8th grade. We are located at 1300 Beltline Road. Call us at 618-344-3151 or visit www.goodshepherdcollinsville.org.
The cross is always relevant. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The latest Issues Etc. journal contains a confession. It's about my problem with the commandment, "You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor." You can read it by subscribing to the Issues Etc. journal. Just look for the subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. The latest journal also details Pastor Will Wheaton's journey on the Wittenberg Trail. Subscribe to the online Issues Etc. journal today, issuesetc.org.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. A special thanks to the newest congregational member of the Issues Etc. 300. That's our congregational sponsorship program. Grace Lutheran Church in Wellsville, Missouri, just today. This came across my desk, and a special thanks to them for joining the Issues Etc. 300. Many congregations are going to begin a new fiscal year on the 1st of July, and that means time is a-wasting for you to ask them to include Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget, which is exactly what the Issues Etc. 300 is. But we've made it easier for you. All you need to do is go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support. You'll find a one-page flyer right there that you can download and print off, and you can take it to your congregation, even in the latter days of the deadline, and ask them to include Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Make your congregation part of the Issues Etc. 300, supporting the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. Pastor Brian Wolf-Miller is our guest. He's pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado, co-host of a weekly radio show called Table Talk Radio. You can find out more about Table Talk Radio under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. We're talking about the Lord's Prayer and the Abundant Life. All right, let's pick up where you left us kind of hanging there at the break, and that is you say it's blank check stuff for the first three petitions of the Lord's Prayer. Give us all of the kingdom, all of your will, all of your name. When it comes to daily bread, it is doled out in daily increments.
Yeah, that's
why is
right.
that important?
Well, because I think this is there's a reigning of appetite that happens in the Christian life. In other words, we are not. And I think this is maybe what's happening here with the fourth petition, is we are not just stomachs. There's more to us than that. But that's paganism, and we see it in the ancient world and the modern world as well. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we will die. The Lord has given us a gift in our stomach that feels pain and tells us that we want to have food, otherwise that we would die. I mean, whenever I go to visit someone and they're sick and in the hospital, one of the questions that I ask just to see how they're doing is I'll say, do you have an appetite or have you lost your appetite? And when you lose your appetite, you know that the person is very sick, that this is one of the marks of a fantastic sickness. So that we have this appetite, and Solomon will point out that it never ends. I mean, that it's never, the stomach is never, like the eyes, the stomach is never satisfied. We realize that there are limits to this, that the Lord has other gifts to give aside from the gifts to our stomach. But there is also a way to understand this petition both as a asking for a humble thing. Lord, what we need is just a little piece of bread to keep our bodies going for today. That's what we're asking for. But then we start to understand everything that goes into that piece of bread. I mean, the bread to... My family actually was bakers back in the good old days in Germany, and then when they came over to the United States. But I don't know all the science of this thing, but I think to bake bread you probably need like wheat and some water and and oil and an oven, and that just doesn't come from nowhere. You have to, when you pray for daily bread, you're praying for the farmer, and you're praying for the guy who drives the wheat to the mill, and you're praying for the miller, and you're praying for the guy that makes the sack for the wheat to go to the for the flour to go to the bread store, and you're praying for the electrical company to, so that they give power to the ovens at the baker. And when you start to think about what we're praying for in the fourth petition, I mean, it's an expansive sort of thing. In fact, I don't think that I know of that there is only one vocation given among men, among humans, that is not covered in the fourth petition. Everyone who has a legitimate vocation in this world, from the computer scientist to the person in the courtroom, to the judge in the courtroom, to the radio show host, I mean, everyone in this world, in one way or another, is given us daily bread. The exception to that is the pastor, or the people who are occupied with the Lord's word, who have the vocation according to the fifth petition, forgive us our trespasses.
Okay, then, let's talk a bit about that fifth one. And someone might say, well, if this is so important, that is the forgiveness of sins, as the Christian church has maintained it is, why is it way down in the middle of the list?
Well, I think it's already there in the first and second commandments, but here there's something specific that we're praying for, or maybe a couple of things that are specific. And I think there's a parallel between the fourth petition and the fifth petition, and especially a parallel between our stomach and our conscience. So our stomach is there, and it tells us, our stomachs tell us that we're hungry. They give us some sort of pain and say something's wrong here. But it doesn't tell us how to fix the pain. And, in fact, our stomachs often can't be trusted, right? Because you've seen, you know, people be floating out in the ocean or something, and they'll be in the raft, and they'll die because they were so thirsty that they just could not stop themselves from drinking the seawater, even though they knew it was going to kill them. Or people eat something that's poisonous or something like this. So you have a stomach, but your stomach doesn't tell you that you need to learn your letters and your numbers, and you need to go to school, and so you need to get a job so that you go to work, and then you get a paycheck, and you take that money to the grocery store, and you buy your daily bread. You have to learn all that stuff. I think that our conscience, according to the fifth petition, is similar. Our conscience tells us that there's something wrong here. Something's wrong in the world. But it doesn't tell us how to make that pain of the conscience go away. So that the Lord is doing us a huge favor in the fifth petition, and he says, you know that pain that you feel in your conscience? Which I think, by the way, is the religious impulse that stands behind every single religion, including atheism in the world. Every single worldview is motivated by this pain in the conscience. But the Lord says, to satisfy that, to make it go away, it comes from forgiveness. You got to be forgiven to make that pain stop. And so the Lord is teaching us here what we're really looking for, what makes our conscience good and clean.
Is there a reflexive element to that prayer for forgiveness? Because Jesus does instruct us to pray, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. That the forgiveness that we receive for Christ's sake is not intended to just kind of, like the food, go in and stay there. It is intended as part of the abundant life for others as well.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, Jesus tells, a number of his parables that will come right on the heels of the teaching of the Lord's Prayer are teaching precisely what this petition means, that we forgive as we're forgiven. I mean, you have the parable of the forgiven steward, the guy who owes $1 trillion to the king, and he goes in and grovels and says, let me pay it back, because that's what our conscience thinks. Our conscience thinks that it can be good by doing good works. It's an incessant myth. There's a Latin name for it. I can't believe I just forgot it. The opinion of the law. Yeah, the opinio legis, that our conscience is made good by doing good things, that God is pleased with us by doing good things. It's just crazy. He grovels, give me time and I'll pay it back. That's every single world religion right there. But the king says, no, I'll forgive it. You're forgiven. Don't worry. But then the guy goes out and grabs his fellow servant by the neck and says, pay me what you owe, and it's proving that he has that his conscience is going to be made good by payment still clings to him. No, you're forgiven, so you forgive. It's what happens. It's a fruit of the Lord's mercy is that we have mercy on each other and that we live together now, not just by trading money for bread, etc., by looking over the neighbor's fence to make sure no one's breaking in the back door, but we live among each other also by forgiving each other and having mercy on each other. Oh, it's beautiful.
You said the last two petitions, lead us from temptation and deliver us from evil, both have to do with deliverance from two different kinds of danger. With only a minute here or so before we wrap up, put a bow on this abundant life according to the Lord's Prayer.
Yeah, well, we realize then that we live this life of suffering and that we're constantly, according to the sixth petition, we're constantly being tempted. We're being tempted to sin. We're being tempted to doubt. We're being tempted. The devil is always trying to steal from us the Lord's gift of his word. We're being tempted to false doctrine. And what we pray in this petition is that the Lord would keep us from wrecking it all. That the Lord would continue to deliver us the abundance that he has in his gifts. But then we have the seventh petition, which is a concluding petition. It wraps up not only 4, 5, and 6, but it wraps up all seven petitions as well. And it says, look, to have finally at last an abundant life that knows no end, Lord, you're going to have to take me out of this place. You're going to have to give me a blessed death, which is, I think, one of the greatest ironies, is that an abundant life ends when the Lord Jesus gives us death, when the Lord Jesus separates our body and soul and calls us home, and then at last puts the body and soul together in the resurrection. The abundant life that Jesus has for his Christians is not just a life of living, but it's a life of dying, all in his name and all in the confidence that we belong to him.
Wow, that was a three-pointer right there at the end. That's very nice. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado, co-host of the weekly radio show called Table Talk Radio, author of a recent article titled The Lord's Prayer Teaches Us What an Abundant Life Is. You can read it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Thank you very much, Brian.
Hey, let's do it again sometime soon.
Sure. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll discuss media coverage of religion with Sarah Pulliam Bailey of GetReligion.org. Also tomorrow we'll play Issues Etc., Soundbite of the Week. The Issues Etc., Book of the Month for June. June is almost halfway over, can you believe it? The book is for the whole year, for your whole life, for even beyond your whole life, the whole life of the church from beginning to end. It's called Ordering Our Days in His Peace, an introduction to the Christian church year. If your congregation doesn't observe the church year, you're really missing out on something. If you want to know what you're missing out on, at the same time, resource yourself to be able to introduce yourself and your congregation to this great gift of the church's wisdom for the last two millennia. Get the Issues Etc., Book of the Month for June. Ordering Our Days in His Peace, an introduction to the Christian church year by Pastor Heath Curtis, a regular guest here on the program. Call Concordia Publishing House and order it from them, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. Ask for the Issues Etc., Book of the Month for June. Or browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. It's on every page of our website. The Issues Etc., Book of the Month for June, Ordering Our Days in His Peace. And there is no better way to summarize what it is we're asking for in the Lord's Prayer and what it is Christ so abundantly gives out of His mercy, won for us at the cross, than a life that doesn't end, a life that He gives now, even through death, and resurrection for eternity. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
Here are two new ways that you can promote Issues Etc. The Issues Etc. business card and the Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer. Simply go to the support page at issuesetc.org, click Issues Etc. business cards, print the page on suitable stock paper, and cut along the lines. We also have an 8.5 by 11 inch flyer for the bulletin board at your church. Issuesetc.org, go to the support page, click Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer, and print.